All right, welcome back, Admin Mastermind and TeachBitter family. So great to see everyone this morning. And of course, it was wonderful to see the wonderful Katie Meiglin.
Hi guys, how are you?
Well, it's the end of the school year. And I think, you know, I was getting text messages and emails from people that wanted to join this morning, but there was a lot of things going on. And I know that it is the end of the year. There's a lot of celebrations, a lot of craziness that's occurring. But then also what we were talking about, which was just preparing not only for the end of the school year, but preparing for the next school year, and threw out a hopefully fun idea with just, you know, if you were to celebrate and have unlimited cash, what would you do to celebrate? And I didn't really say staff or students, but I just kind of left it open, and we got some fun ideas.
Yeah, like bringing Dave and Buster's, which is a, you know, like a, I would say like an entertainment amusement park kind of place, arcade games. Having them come in, a neon foam room, which we never really discussed. I have a lot of follow-up questions.
We should have
opened that a little bit, but just like a day off or like a fun day, just an outdoor day. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of did spiral into like, what are things people have actually done that maybe might feel like they're out of our reach, but some places have been able to pull them off. I know you shared some ideas that your staff has done in the past.
So it kind of bridged into this like retreat type of deal too, and team building, because we're starting to think about that for the upcoming year. I know in August or even July, sometimes we would pull the leadership team and ask them to come for a day, compensate them for that. But then it was more about like just spending time together, getting to know each other. There was always new leaders every year that were a part of the leadership team. And so, yeah, we would do something fun, like an escape room, you know, and try to build some time to just get to know each other, have fun, but then on the back end, you know, get to business. And then I remember specifically one end of the year event, which was on a staff PD day, was going to the bowling alley and just pretty much renting the whole thing out and taking it over. And, you know, same kind of deal. Is it wasn't just fun. You know, we had some work in the afternoon, but I think you made a great point, Katie, is like, it's great to have team building, get that energy out in the morning. And then we were really focused and we got a lot of work done, even though we didn't spend a ton of time in those meetings for preparation or closing the school year down. But it was just like, just really a happy times together to do something that was out of the building, in a fun structured event, and just enjoying each other's company.
Well, and I think you had brought up too, not even if you're not looking at like an end of the year party, but is there an opportunity for you to turn a PD day into more of a retreat where there is some collaboration and some, you know, you're getting work done, but it's sandwiched in between some fun stuff too. So you talked specifically like, you know, the student handbook. Evaluating the student handbook isn't something that people get real excited about. So can you choose to relocate your staff to an outdoor venue? Even if you don't have the means for that, can you take them outside and have them broken up into stations so that at least there's some movement involved, there's some fresh air, you know, just anything you can do. Some of those mundane tasks that we know need to be done, can you do them in a more pleasant environment so that, you know, staff members are more likely to get invested? I think we all kind of agree that having an opportunity to have some fun with our staff is essential, not only to break the ice, build those relationships, and kind of do all the things we would expect happening in our classrooms as well.
Yeah. Well, and Katie, you brought up the idea of like, well, reaching out to your community members, reaching out to your parents, finding some type of location that's outside of the school. And yeah, the specific example I gave was something that I wasn't expecting, but my principal, I think it was a former student, had a wedding venue that was, you know, not too far away, but gorgeous site. And yeah, the staff just ate it up. It was a giant old barn that was remade. And that's where we had our staff meeting to begin the day. But then, yeah, we got to do stations out in just a beautiful space that was outdoors. And I mean, it was Texas, so it was going to be hot, but you know, there was a lot of shade and areas that we could do it. So yeah, I think if you can kind of change it up, I mean, obviously there's things that has to be done.
Yeah.
But can you do it in a fun way and in a way that's not just sitting in a room all day for 8 hours with no breaks? Yeah. Yes, nobody wants to experience that. So,
no.
Katie, we went and started talking about the reflection of the school year. So like finding ways to maybe tap into your staff, because as we know, it's kind of insane. And, you know, what people were saying was that the fact that there's not a lot of PD days for teachers to be able to sit down and provide that information. So bless you. you know, just trying to find ways to, you know, tap into their voice as far as, you know, what was successful, what were some things that maybe need improvement. So do you mind sharing some of the thoughts in regards to how they tap into that?
Yeah, I was really kind of surprised to hear that most of the team that was with us this morning said that they don't typically allow that reflection piece at the end of the year. It's more at the beginning of the next year, which, you know, there's lots of reasons why. A lot of it was like test driven. We don't get, you know, data back until later. But I do think there is, you know, there was a conversation of like, well, we should be providing some sort of reflection, but also defining what we're saying success is. And so maybe you don't have your test scores in, but is there some other thing that teachers can measure? Can they still have an opportunity to reflect? Because we know some of those staff members won't be with us in August. And at the same sense, some staff members will be new in August. So that last year's data will be irrelevant to them. And so just giving them time and space to kind of think about it, have conversations, whether it's the last staff meeting, which we heard is, you know, sometimes could be 2 or 3 weeks before the end of the school year, or if there's like a PD day, institute day that last week or last day, if there's an opportunity for staff to get together. But just giving teachers the time to really sit and reflect and think about what are things that went really well this year and what are things that I would like to improve or continue doing next year is really important, even if it's just for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, we did this thing, which I loved. It was my principal's idea, which was a roundtable situation where it was voluntary, it was optional, but people got to sign up. We provided food for lunch. They came in and it was just a conversation. It was a conversation of what went well and what are things that you would like to see improved. And, you know, it kind of gave an opportunity to, you know, have a conversation that we typically don't have an opportunity to do. And so, you know, sometimes you do the informal form, maybe it's, it doesn't have their name on or whatnot. You get kind of these crazy, like, I love the school or I hate the school kind of, like, it's like two extremes, right? Yes. So this allowed them to be honest, safe space, like, let's brainstorm. This is about working toward a better campus for the next year. And so having that mindset and kind of having that established to begin the conversation. But there were things that we were like, you know what? I never thought about that before. Thank you for bringing that up, you know? And so I thought those conversations were invaluable. And it did take more time away from us doing other tasks, but at the same time, like, we wanted to show that we're investing and we wanted to give them the autonomy to provide some input on how we could be successful moving forward. Because, you know, sometimes we have blind spots that we're not even aware of.
I think the important piece with that, Josh, I 100% agree, but making sure that anyone who attends those types of collaboration, you know, spaces is everyone's looking to problem solve. Yes. Sometimes those can turn very toxic very quickly because people come and I know I was just talking to an educator and she joined this committee thinking it was going to be like, what are the steps we can take to improve this? And all the people that were at the table were really just looking to complain. And so making sure that it's like that focus of, what if we had a problem in our building or on our campus, what are some things that we can do to improve it and continuing to move forward versus sitting in that toxic space, which sometimes can be, you know, not really great for anyone.
Yeah. Establishing and communicating those norms is huge. Yes. And that was, you know, thankfully we had a board in the room that we had these conversations in, and we actually put the norms up there so they understood this is really working for solutions. It was, absolutely. You know, if you have a complaint that's mixed in there to start off, the reason as to why you think it should be improved, that's fine. But at the same time, you better have something, you know, on the back end to say, how are we going to solve it? Or at least an idea.
Yep.
Love that. All right. So let's move to the next thing, which was talking about appreciation and recognition for our staff. So Katie, as you saw and said too, you know, we're in school all the time and people are tired. They're ready for the summer. They're ready to be done. And so, you know, what can we do as far as leaders, making sure that they understand that, you know, what they did over the school year, what they accomplished is something that's appreciated. So what were some ideas that people threw out in regards to showing appreciation?
Well, I know we've said this before. It continues to be a good idea because it's free. It's just a written note. If you have no means to do anything else, handwriting a note, letting teachers know that you appreciate them and the work they're doing is huge because that goes a long way. And like I said, it's still free. But there were, you know, specific things that were shared, especially if you have like new staff members or first year teachers. Is there some little, you know, gift type thing that you can give them just to say like, hey, you made it through your first year or you made it through your first year in the district? But then also just like telling your office staff, people who sometimes maybe get overlooked on Teacher Appreciation Week, or, you know, maybe they just, their job is really hard too. Can you take them out to lunch or can you treat them to, you know, just something, maybe bring in breakfast, but any of those things can go a long way because it just shows someone that you took the time and cared to say thank you. But I would say too, if you're looking to go maybe a little bit bigger, reach out to your PTO, your parent group, reach out to your community members, see if you can, you know, use up some of those last businesses that have said, hey, I'd love to help, but maybe you didn't tap into them just yet. Is there some way that you can spoil your staff in on a low level just to say thank you and to acknowledge like we made it to the end of the year? Because we ultimately want our teachers to go into summer, you know, feeling like, okay, I can tackle another year. I've got this. I'm going to spend the summer recharging.
Well, look at you. That's a perfect segue to the next piece, which will be the last question. Although I will say that we were kind of all over the place this morning with this idea of closing the school year down and starting a brand new one. But I asked about what resources or support systems can leaders provide teachers and staff to recharge and rejuvenate over the summer. And I thought there were some pretty good ideas about this. So what do you think about this one, Katie?
Well, I did think it was funny, like unanimously, everyone was like, leave them alone. Just leave them alone. Let them enjoy summer, whatever that looks like for staff. But yep. Then there was obviously some conversation around optional PD opportunities for teachers who are looking to improve their craft or get a little bit better in a specific area. But yep. Making sure that it's optional, it's not required, so that the teacher who just needs the summer to themselves can truly take that summer to themselves. You know, I think we've talked about before, but like rolling out a curriculum over the summer, where if you don't attend the PD sessions, it's going to actually be detrimental to your teaching. That is not a good idea. You know, making sure that we are really allowing teachers just their time. And if they decide to do schoolwork, let them decide that on their own. Don't force it on them. Keep them emails to a minimum. We talked about, you know, is there little committees like a sunshine committee that can email when there's HR type stuff, you know, someone has a death in the family or someone got engaged or some of those big life moments are important to share over the summer. Because obviously your staff is still a family, even through those months that they're separated. But just really being mindful of teachers need to be able to completely detach. All staff members need to completely detach and refresh so that in August or September, whenever they come back, they can feel ready to go into the next year.
Yeah, I thought the other piece to that with the optional PD was just being mindful of the time in which you're doing it, how long it's going to be, but then also the opportunity for childcare.
Yes.
Because you know, some families, you know, are not able to provide for that and then would be able to attend the PD when mm-hmm. they really want to. And so it sounds like for those who are able to provide that opportunity. And I think there was a connection too with the high school students and mm-hmm. allowing the high school students to get the hours they need through that, but then also providing the childcare for those teachers. And there was a lot of success in that. And so, mm-hmm. you know, it's one of those things you just don't think about sometimes and right. when you're planning. And so to be able to provide that for folks that need it is absolutely huge because then they don't get to really participate when they want to. So,
right.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Yeah, that was and great. Then, also just the proactive piece of, you know, we need to make sure that we're providing that communication to the schedule, like what is mm-hmm. going to be offered over the summer, in the fall, when we're about to start. Obviously, the more information that you have, the more transparent you can be, the more helpful it is for people planning, especially mm-hmm. with all those kids also. But there's a lot of other variables there that people are trying to work out. So if you can get that information to them sooner than later, that's going to be extremely helpful and your staff will appreciate that immensely. Mm-hmm.
And we also kind of talked about from the admin side, having a month-to-month calendar or kind of a priority list, which is kind of covers this as well. Just getting yourself organized of what next year will bring or what are some things you want to make sure you focus on every month so that when the busyness of the school year starts, which we've talked about this before, you can still keep your goals and priorities, you know, at the forefront of your mind. Versus sometimes we have these big aspirations over the summer and then school starts and all of those go by the wayside. So kind of get yourself organized that whether it's in a physical space, we talked about like giant whiteboards, or if it's something that maybe you need to, you know, work with some staff members to like figure out what are the things we're going to focus on every month and let that kind of lead the planning for next year. I think those are all really good ideas to get organized.
For sure. All right. Well, if you didn't get a chance to join us, or maybe this is the first time that you're figuring out that there's an admin mastermind with the Teach Better team on YouTube, you can join us every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time. Now, with that, I will say the caveat is that next week, May 28th, will be the last session for the school year. However, we're going to start back up the first week of August. So it will still remain every Tuesday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern time for the school year. And to do that, you can go over to teachbetter.com/mastermind. It's a free sign up. Doesn't cost you a thing outside of 45 minutes of your time every Tuesday. But I promise you, there's a lot of value as we have so many administrators around the country and in Canada. But then also with that, you'll get a Facebook link that will give you to our special private community where we continue the conversation throughout the week. So if you need support and you want to reach out to all of these phenomenal administrators, you have access to about 250 different folks to bounce ideas off of. So love this group. And with that, I appreciate the conversation this morning and your time, Katie, as we're about to close down the 2023-2024
school year.
Yeah, that's crazy. School year went by fast, but appreciate all of you. And of course, if you need support, myself and Katie are here for you. So just reach out and we would love to, you know, help in any way possible.
Absolutely.
All right. Have a good week, y'all.
See ya.